Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Today brings explosive new allegations in the Larry Nassar scandal at Michigan State University. A new lawsuit filed yesterday alleges that George Perlis, long affiliated with MSU, covered up allegations from a student athlete that Nassar drugged and raped her when she sought his care for a field hockey injury. The lawsuit claims this happened in 1992, before Nassar was a doctor, and when Perlis was MSU's athletic director and head football coach. The story was broken by Kim Kozlowski of the Detroit News, who's with us now. Kim, tell us about the suit and the woman who filed it.
The woman, her name is Erica Davis, and she's a resident of California. And she apparently was at MSU when she was 17 and was a field hockey player. And she saw Larry Nassar when she had injured her knee. She twisted her knee. Her coach suggested that she go and see Nassar because her coach knew Nassar through a mutual friend and knew that he was doing some sort of study and needed to see athletes.
And then what does the suit allege happened when she went to see Larry Nassar?
Well, he saw her and he wanted her to get consent, but said her coach could give consent since she was 17. And there was apparently a cameraman in the room when he was doing this alleged study. And initially, he did something with her that involved her giving her a breast examination and asked her to remove her shirt. And he did some other things. And then he asked her to come back the following week for what sounded like it might have been a pelvic exam. But he gave her some sort of pill, and he crushed it up, and he told her it was supposed to help her knee. And she became drowsy soon after. And according to the lawsuit, when she wasn't, she kind of became not woozy and saw that he was raping her. And she told some friends later that night. She apparently was in a lot of pain, and she also told her coach. It's unclear when she told her coach, but she told her coach, who confronted Nassar and demanded this video that apparently had recorded it. This is all according to the lawsuit. And the coach also confronted George Perlis.
And Perlis was MSU's athletic director during part of 1992.
That is correct. I have asked MSU when his last day was because the lawsuit is a little nebulous on some time frames when this all occurred. It referred to it as spring. And Merrily Dean Baker did come in as MSU's athletic director. I just spoke with her, and she said it was either July or August.
Just so you know, we found a story from the Chicago Tribune about the whole tug of war between then-President John DiBiagio and Perlis. DiBiagio wanted him to not be football coach and AD at the same time. And that story, which was dated June 17th, said Merrily Dean Baker took over as athletic director in mid-May.
She told me she was named in mid-May, but she had to sell her house, and she wasn't clear exactly when she arrived at MSU. It was probably around July or August.
Okay.
But she also told me that she was not aware of this case at all. Keep in mind that the Detroit News did write a story at the height of the Nassar scandal when all the young women had testified that she was calling upon them for transparency and accountability. So she has been, you know, someone who has been in the limelight as being, you know, MSU really needs to be accountable. But today she told me that she'd never heard about this, and some of the timeline wasn't quite making sense because in the lawsuit it alleges that the young woman had told her dorm mother that she wasn't feeling well and she had a pregnancy test, and she found out it was a positive pregnancy, and she did go to the police in October of 1992.
But she I want to just back up. When she first told friends and went to the coach, how did the school handle it? Where did the complaint go, according to the lawsuit?
That's not clear. It's not clear. Some of the timeline in the lawsuit and how it's written, it sounded like her coach was supportive of her and went and confronted Nassar and demanded to see this videotape, and apparently also complained to Perlis. Now, it's unclear when she complained to Perlis, but they said that he intervened and forced her to return this video, resign, and then sign a non-disclosure agreement.
And this is the coach we're talking about.
Yes. Now, this coach, also, her name was Martha Ludwig, and I've not been able to reach her. She was also someone who Mary Lee Baker had never heard of. And she came in soon after. So it's not clear to me why she didn't know her. Maybe she had departed. Mary Lee Baker said, you know, I don't want to say this didn't happen, but she had never heard of this coach at the time. So there's questions a little bit about the timeline here. But these are what the allegations have laid out. The Attorney General's office did let me know that they were aware of the suit and they were investigating.
And going down then later in the year when the complainant said she found that she was pregnant, what happened there? You said she went to the police.
She did go to the police, and she told them that she had reported it to the athletic department. And apparently a detective told her that he basically had no power to investigate, and anything that took place in the athletic department needed to go to the athletic department. And that was when they heard that George Prillis is a powerful man and she should just drop it. But that was in October. And by then, Mary Lee Baker had already been the athletic director for a few months, at least.
I'm talking with the Detroit News reporter Kim Kozlowski about the story that broke today about a new lawsuit alleging abuse by Larry Nassar and an alleged cover-up by George Perlis, who was MSU's football coach and one-time athletic director and is still a member of the Board of Trustees. So has MSU responded today? Any comment from school authorities, Kim?
Yes, they did issue a statement today and basically apologized for all the trauma that all the sexual survivors have experienced and mentioned that they do have new protocols, procedures in place. You know, they're taking the allegations seriously and looking into the situation.
Bottom line, what is the suit alleging were the consequences of all of this?
Well, they're alleging that essentially this young woman was hurt. They said that she went and tried to seek help, and it sounds like she didn't get help. Her claims were taken seriously by a coach, but when the coach confronted Larry and asked for this video, it sounds like, allegedly, that George Perlis intervened and somehow made the situation go away.
You use the term
allegation.
You did use the term nebulous to describe some of the language in the suit, and we've noted errors. For example, the suit claims Nassar was a world-renowned doctor. In 1992, at that time, he was a graduate student with the School of Osteopathic Medicine. He was not even a DO by then. He had not been a doctor.
No, he had not. But keep in mind, the very first victim that we are aware of did occur in 1992. Her name is Sarah Klein. She had been anonymous up until the ESPY Awards very recently in July. And she alleged that he assaulted her when he was a medical student in 1992 and was doing kind of like some medical exams on her as well. And she came to his apartment and did some measurements on her from the floor and asked her to take a bath. And then he sexually assaulted her after that.
One other line that jumped out at me, a quote from the court documents in your Detroit News story, and I'll quote, Perlis intervened and the charges were dropped against the coach, but she was forced to return the video, resign, and sign a nondisclosure agreement. Are you clear what charges against Coach Martha is this suit referring to?
That was not clear in the lawsuit, and I did reach Brian McKean this morning, one of her lawyers, and he was in trial court and was unable to talk. And I have not yet been able to reach him since. Oh, and also, this just in, Emily Garant, spokesperson for MSU, just said that George Perlis's end date was May 14th, 1992, and Mary Lee Dean Baker's start date was 5/15/1992.
Okay, so there was a couple of weeks of an interim. So May 14th, 1992. And it's unclear that you could deduce yet from this lawsuit as far as dates, hard dates, when things were complained about and to whom?
Yeah, the dates are a little nebulous. They do refer to springtime, 1992. And that is definitely around the time when George Perlis stepped down from his post and Mary Lee Dean Baker picked up the reins.
What about other attorneys for the plaintiff? Have you been able to reach any of them? How many of them, and are there other ones who are not in Michigan?
I have not been able to reach any of those lawyers yet. I did reach out to Nassar's lawyer, and she was not available for comment. The Attorney General's office, I think I may have already mentioned, is investigating.
Kim, what questions do you still have?
Well, one of the questions I wondered about, this did get filed as a deadline for lawsuits to be filed against MSU ended yesterday. This victim, she did apparently, according to the lawsuit, repress these memories until February. And I asked to interview her. I'd like to talk with her. I know that oftentimes it takes a long time for victims of sexual assault to come forward and, share that they had been assaulted. But there have been others who have emailed me and wondered why she waited. So I'm not sure what she would say, but that's one of the questions we might ask. And we also want to clear up some of the timeline, too, with the alleged victims lawsuit.
Kim Kozlowski, Detroit News. Kim, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.